bought into and you just come because that's what you've always done, I'm going to challenge you and encourage you to have a relationship with Christ. Amen. And there's a real big difference. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We do this most Sunday mornings. And I want you to take a good look at what your posture is right now. Because you're standing, and so what that means is the discouragement could not keep you down. The disappointment couldn't keep you down. The addiction could not keep you down. The depression could not keep you down. The infirmity could not keep you down. See, the devil would like to just keep you down, but God is always looking for ways to lift you up. And so if you are in need of something this morning, maybe there's something going on in your life that nobody even knows about you. If there's an addiction that you say, God, I don't want to do this anymore, but I feel stuck because I'm lost in it. If there's a healing that needs to be in your body, see, only you know how you came in here this morning. You and God. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands up. We're going to welcome the Holy Spirit in here this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. God, under the sound of my voice, and Lord, right now I take authority over this congregation and over this service. Lord, I tell you to have your way, God. Lord, I tell you to say what you would like to be said. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to set people free in here. Lord, I know that there's people, and God, you want them to walk out different than what they came. In Jesus' name, amen. And go with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin to look at verse 12. And for our visitors, my name's Pastor Kelly. And you will know in about 5 minutes whether you like me or can't stand my preaching style. But I will tell you this, you will not walk out of here wondering what I meant. Amen. I'm going to keep it real. I want to impress upon you that what is church? What is it? What is an actual pastor? What is their job? What is the job of the church? And if you walk out of here and you don't live out the sermon, nothing I say in here will do you any good. It's up to you to live it out. It's up to you to apply it to yourself. It's up to you to hold yourself to that standard where you say, I'm going to work out my own salvation. Nobody can work it out for you but you. Nobody can have that intimate personal relationship for you but you. And I want to minister to you this morning about your conscience. Now, the style that I preach, you're going to hear some things, and they may prick you in your heart. And your heart may want to say, that offends me. And I want to explain something to you. I am not here, and I have not been in the ministry my entire life to sit there and, Michelle, please everybody in the pew. Because here's what I know. I can't even make everybody happy with the air in here. Okay? So I know that I'm not going to be able to preach. Every word that I preach is not going to make you happy, but I promise you, if you will apply it to your life, it will make you holy. Okay? So we have to understand that when we hear things in church, there's going to be a prick sometimes in your heart, and it's not a good opportunity for you to get offended. It's an opportunity for you to understand that your heart and your conscience is convicting you because the Word of God is living and it's active. And because the Word is living and active, when it comes out and it goes up into your heart, the Word of God will correct you. The Word of God will direct you. The Word of God says that, Lord, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. And so that means that the literal Word of God will show you where to go. See, there's times in your life where you don't know which direction to take. You don't know where to go in your life. There's some people, and you're in the valley of decision, and you don't know which way to go. And I can tell you this, if you will get into the Word of God, if you will apply the Word of God to your life, that Word of God will instruct you. And so I say this in the most humble way that I can. I don't mean to get up here and be offensive, but what I do mean to get up here is to speak the Word. You will not hear me giving you theology. You will not hear me giving you history lessons. You will not hear me refer to anything that is not in the Bible. And I have fashioned my ministry after that, because you can get up here and get people confused if you do anything besides that. What do I want here today? What does God want? We want you to walk out of here free. We want you to walk out of here and live this out. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 12. This morning I am ministering to you about your conscience. About your conscience. We are in a world where we are calling right wrong and wrong right. And because of that, pastors cannot get up behind a pulpit and speak truth anymore. And God has been convicting me and correcting me that, Kelly, I need you to speak truth more than you ever have before. More than you ever have. And there's been a part of me that's been afraid to offend people, and they leave. And here's what I can tell you. I don't want anybody leaving. But one of these days, I'm going to stand before God and He's going to ask me why I did not say things, and I don't want to be in that place. If you hear something in this sermon and you have the opportunity to be offended, I'm going to explain this to you. That is conviction. That is conviction. Let conviction help you to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. This is Paul. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and here is what he's saying. There was a misunderstanding that they had. And misunderstandings happen on a daily basis. We see this all over the world. Misunderstandings are going to take place between people, between believers, between non-believers. It's a part of relationships. If you have any type of a relationship with somebody, it could be a spouse, it could be a coworker, it could be a child, it could be your boss. Any relationship capacity, there's going to be an opportunity for there to be a misunderstanding, because people are not always the best communicators. Do we all agree? How many of you women have ever gotten mad at your husband because he could not read your mind? Women, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have to let them off of the hook just a little bit, because we don't even know our mind, okay? We don't even know what we want. We get sold up and we'll be sitting in the car with them and we're just mad as little hornets, and we're sitting here going, that jerk, how dare him not know what I wanted? And then we're sitting there. I've been here before. I've sat there and I've thought, my God, I think I'm going to have to let Frank off the hook, because I don't even know what I want in this situation. There was one time we went to a restaurant not too long ago. I don't even remember where it was, but I was upset with him because he did not sit in our spot, Rolando's. And I was very offended, and I wouldn't behave the whole meal. I was thinking, what is my problem? And you know what it was, Erica? When the waitress asked us where we wanted to sit, our spot was open, but he said, we'll sit by the window. And that offended me. And it took the whole meal for me to understand that that offended me. We was in a romantic place. I wanted to sit in our spot. Where am I going with this? There are times where we have misunderstandings. There are times where we misunderstand ourselves. Okay, we're going to talk about our conscience a little bit this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, here is Paul. And I am going to break down this verse, and we're going to spend a lot of time just on this one verse. I have learned in life that the Word of God will come alive to you if you'll seek Him, if you'll get into His Word. Several years ago, I had an experience with the Lord where I fell in love with His Word. And I can honestly say that before that happened in my life, that the Bible was just very boring for me to read. Y'all ever been there? It's boring. Sometimes you can get lost in it. God has made me fall in love with His Word, and it opens up in a way to me that I just fall in love with it because I understand how much God truly, truly loves us because He tells us how much constantly through His Word. So it says here, now this is our boast. What is He saying? This is my side of it. This is my side. Your conscience has a side. Now you can have a seared conscience and you don't want to have that. And here's Paul, and he's writing, and he said, here's our side. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves, and I'm going to stop right there. Our conscience testifies. And I want to minister to you this morning that one of these days, your conscience is going to testify about you. Your conscience is going to testify about you. When something hits your conscience, that is the Holy Spirit working inside of your life to try to get you. There's something not right there. And when something comes and you don't feel good about something, that is in your conscience. And it's stuck there until you do something about it or you mull over it. But when you mull over it, you get what the Bible describes as a seared conscience. Our conscience testifies. Your conscience will testify. There's times where we do things, we say things, we see other people do things. I encourage you to not worry about anybody else but yourself, because that's the only person you can do anything about. Our conscience testifies. God forgives. And He forgives all the time. That is what He does. It's up to us to pray and ask for that forgiveness. There are times when we allow things that we've done or things that we've said to stick in us, and instead of making those things right with God, we keep them in there because we don't know really we don't know what to do with them. But we can feel that there's something in between us and God. Work that out. Work it out. Because your conscience will, one of these days, testify on your behalf. If you don't feel good about how something went down, if you don't feel good about where a certain relationship is in your life, if there's things that you've done and they bother you and you continue to think about them, those are the things that are laying on your conscience, and those are the things that God wants you to work out. And so Paul says, our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationships with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. Now, I want to ask you this morning, we're going to continue to break down this verse. The second thing that he says is, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially with you, in a holy manner. What I want to ask you this morning is, how are you conducting your life? How are you conducting yourself? How are you living? Is there anything in there that you know that God wants you to correct? How are you conducting yourself? Take a good long look at that. What is going on in your life? If you had to answer for it today, would you be able to? Paul is saying, our conscience is telling us that we haven't done anything wrong. What is your conscience telling you today? That we have conducted ourselves. How are you conducting yourselves? Look at your daily things that you got going on. Are there things that are stuck in your conscience? Are there things that you're saying, Lord, you know, Paul said, God, the very thing that I don't want to do, I keep finding myself in the middle of doing those things. And the very thing that I know is right, I can't make myself do the right thing. See, never again will there be a service just like this. There's never again going to be these exact same people here under the sound of my voice, under this roof. And God is trying to talk to someone in here today. What's going on in your life? And how are you conducting yourself? Your conscience has a job to do. And it's going to help you discern right from wrong. Your conscience, with the help of the Holy Spirit, helps you discern whether or not what you are doing is right or whether what you're doing is wrong. Let the Holy Spirit come into your life and deal with you. There's a lot of you I don't know in here this morning, but here's what I do know. God wants you to know that He's not a mean God. That He's a God of forgiveness. That He is a God of mercy. And there's too many pastors and they don't do a very good job of saying that. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'm going to look at verse 1 for a moment. We're talking about your conscience this morning. And I'm explaining to you that your conscience has a job to do. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 1. And it says this, Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. I'm going to read that one more time. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. And we see many times in the Word of God where it talks about the tablet of your heart. And many, many times the tablet of your heart is referred to as your conscience. As your conscience. So imagine this is your conscience. And when things go on in your life, your conscience begins to take note of some things. When you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with your enemies, when you're dealing with people that have hurt you, when you've been the one that's hurt others, see, your conscience will sit there and it will record things and that will be there. What you want is this right here. You want to have a clean, and a clear conscience. And if you don't, whatever's written on here for you, these will be the places where you go to when you have a bad day. These will be the things that when the devil's coming in and he's trying to get you upset, these will be the things that he refers to you over. Why is it important to have a clear conscience? Because see, when you got a clear conscience, you got a clean piece of paper here, and there ain't nothing standing up in between you and your salvation. What am I explaining to you today? Get your conscience clean. Get your conscience clear. And if you're struggling that, don't brush over it and say, well, it's fine. There's too many people and we're saying it's fine when we know it is everything but fine. So the tablet of our heart, many times in the Word of God, is our conscience. Go with me now back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to continue with verse 12. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves. And there's two places where he says we've conducted, this is how we've conducted ourselves. We've conducted ourselves in the world. The Word of God, this is what it tells you. You are to be in the world, but not of the world. You are to be in the world, but not of the world. And here is Paul, and this is where we should find ourselves. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world. Now, here is a problem in today's society. There is very little distinction between the believer and the heathen. There's very little distinction. And can I tell you, that is wrong. That is wrong. There should be a big difference between the believer and the unsaved. Why? Because see, it's the believer's job to win souls. And if they can't see any difference between you and themselves, that's not a good angle. I'm a visual person. I like to give people a visual. Why? Because it helps people to understand. The Word of God describes the believer as the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It makes people thirsty. What should we be making people thirsty over? Jesus. People should get around you and they should wonder so bad what's going on with you because they want to be like you. They want to have the blessing of God on their life like you've got. The favor of God on your life like you've got. Here's us, or here's the world, and here's us. This is how we should be. When I pour this oil in here, it may hit bottom, but let me explain something to you. It always rises to the top. It always rises to the top. This is the life of a believer. You may hit rock bottom at points, but I'm going to tell you that the promises of God are yes and amen. What does that mean for your life? You will always get back on top as long as you are a walking, talking, believing child of the Most High God. God will continually, over the point of your life, He will make sure that you are on top. But I'm going to explain something to you. You cannot be on top and have something laying and resting on your conscience that you need to get corrected. You say, a lot of people, they get stuck in these ruts in their life and they can't go any further and they get mad at God. Don't get mad at God. Man, God is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's really the only one that can really help you. So don't get mad at Him. Work His program. Work His program. And it ain't easy working the program of God. Why? Because God will straight up come into your life and He will say, now we've got to change this. We've got to change that. Here's the believer. Our ways should rise to the top. Our integrity should be at the top. Our character should be at the top. Is it always? No. What do I do about it, Pastor? Work on it. Work on it. Work on it. How many of you, you got people you don't like? I'm taking an honesty poll. Let's keep them hands up. How many of you got people you don't like? I got people I don't like. I know that's not nice of a pastor to say, but you know what? I'm going to keep this real. You can put your hands down. I love you too, Rita. How many of you got a little bit of a pizzazz about you? When you don't like somebody, you just flat out, you don't like them. Praise God for honesty. Now, if you're super religious and you're sitting there thinking, this is the worst pastor ever, I told you, you would know if you liked me or not, because I will speak that truth. Thank you, Billy. I have, you know, God will explain to you some things that are going on with your conscience. And here is what God has been working out with me. When you do the will of God, every time that you have an opportunity to do His will, and you do it, God increases your anointing. He increases your power. He increases everything about your life. And I have caught myself saying, God, help me to handle my enemies better. God, and this is not a prayer that I would normally pray. I can tell that I'm working out my own salvation because I've been more uncomfortable in the last 6 months than I've probably ever been. And it's because I am doing what I feel like God wants me to do, and I am working on the things that I am not good at. And I have said, God, give me an opportunity to be at peace with my enemies. Lord, put them in my path so I can behave. God, give me an opportunity to make some wrongs right. Because some of them enemies, I'm going to keep it real with you, I don't even know why I don't like them, but they probably did something to the ministry here at some point or another, and I just started not liking them. Do you know that you can dislike somebody and you don't even know why? See, we're going to get where we all live here. I'm not going to preach to you about things that aren't going to make a hill of beans to you. I'm going to preach where you live. And it says, we have conducted ourselves in the world in a good manner. How are you conducting yourself out there? In the world, when you're the only Christian in the room, how are you conducting yourself? I think some people get confused about what salvation and Christianity really is. It's not perfection. It's not perfection. It's a willingness to keep doing it day after day and day after day. It's a commitment. It's a relationship with the Lord. And it's a daily relationship. And he says, for we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially in our relations with you in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. Especially in our relations with you. What is he talking about? Other believers. Other believers. There's too many believers that aren't handling themselves correctly with other believers. I would be a bad pastor if I did not point some things out in this moment. So I'm going to point them out because I don't want to be a bad pastor. I want to be the best pastor that I can be to y'all because that's what you deserve. How many of you have ever gotten into an argument with your family? I know some of you just ain't voting because here's what I know. If you are breathing and you are in this room, we've all gotten into it with our family. Amen. Let's just keep it real with that one. The church is full of very imperfect people. Okay? I want you to look around. Take a very good look. And I want you to understand something. There is not one perfect person in this congregation. There never has been. There never will be. Amen. Do you know that the average time that any one person goes to any one specific church, does anybody know how long that is? 6.6 years. That's not good. There are no perfect people here. Go to any other church. Guess what? They're not perfect there either. How many of you have ever been at Walmart and you got yourself plumb offended at something somebody did? I was at the pharmacy the other day, and I'm a real weirdo. There's a certain pill I take, and there's three different forms of it. There's a round one, there's a cream one, and it's really long, and then there's like an oval one, and it's white, and that's the one I gotta have. Because my little self has told me it don't work unless I have that one. So I called there, and I said, I need to get them pills. And it was like 30 minutes before they closed. And everybody in the town mostly likes me. I mean, I almost said everybody. There's a few people that don't. That's okay. But they bent over backwards to get me my prescription. And something inside of me said, Kelly, check that bottle. Because when you get home and you find out it ain't them ones that your brain thinks that you need, then that's going to be a problem for you. Well, sure enough, I've had him in a dumpster before getting these pills out of the thing. And no, I'm not a drug addict, but I got to have my sleeping pills, or you guys ain't going to be happy with me, none whatsoever. And so I get my pills, and we're up there at the counter, and they're them cream ones, and them cream ones certainly don't work. And I said, now I can't have these. Will you? I can come back another day. We can do something else. But I got to have the ones that work for me. And I could tell I just really ticked that pharmacist off. Because here they done bent over backwards for me, and now I'm being picky. But now, to my defense, they have my chart in there noted. Crazy, high-maintenance brat, got to have these ones. And I called the pharmacist by her name, and I said, you about done with people, aren't you? And she goes, she didn't even look at me. She goes, yep. Well, I knew she was talking about me. Little did she know, I was about done with myself, too. Me and her was on the same page about me that day. And I walked out of there, and I thought, how dare her? She's in customer service. She should have a better attitude. And then I thought, this is so funny. That's what people do at church. I'm going to explain this to you, okay? I know Brad. Brad's up here just rolling his eyes like, oh my God, Pastor Kelly. We got to explain this. Because this is something, as long as I've been in the ministry, this has been a perpetual problem. It's funny to laugh about. You need to get this inside of your heart Because, see, you don't need to be the statistic. You don't need to be the 6.6. Okay? Nobody in here is perfect. We're going to tick each other off. We're going to offend each other. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. Angel, stand up for just a second. One time, I swear to you, one time I was wearing stripes just like this. And I had some woman in the church tell me that I was wearing my stripes wrong and it looked awful. And I was so offended that I didn't talk to her for like 6 months. Now, that was before I was the pastor. I could get away with that stuff a little bit better. We're not always going to be happy with each other. Y'all are not always going to be happy with me. Do you understand that? My job isn't to make you happy. My job is not to make you happy. Do I fail miserably sometimes at this? Yes, I do. Do I sit there and hate myself for it after I do it? Yes, I do. But stop going into churches thinking that you're going to get perfection, because you're not. You're not going to get that. What does Paul say? Man, my conscience is clean when it comes to you guys. And I have not only had a clean conscience, but the way that I've conducted myself in the world has been holy and sincere, but also, and then he says something in here. And see, I want you to be a lover of the Word, because he says, and especially in our relations with you. This is how the modern church should be. We're going to conduct ourselves in a holy manner in the world because we want to have that clean conscience. But when it comes to each other, we should especially conduct ourselves in that manner. 6.6 years. Why do I think that is? I'll tell you why it is. People get offended and they leave everywhere. Every church has this problem. Something will be said from the pulpit. Somebody will say something to somebody here. How many of you do you understand that the pastor cannot control what 120 other people say and do? Guys, I got my hands full controlling myself, okay? Give each other some grace. 6.6 years. People go into Walmart. They get what they need. They pay for it, and they leave. Sometimes we go there, we may get something that's got mold on it. Sometimes we go there, somebody may not just be just like how they should be to us. Guess what? We don't stop going. We don't stop going. If you want to be what you're supposed to be, you're going to come in here and you're going to understand that nobody in here is perfect and that you aren't either. But by the grace of God, we're going to get through this life and we're going to go to the next life. And that don't happen when you're flipping, flopping every 2 seconds. The pastor will say something. It'll be right on. And people aren't ready to change. So they get offended. If your pastor has the guts enough to say it, they just must really love you. I had a conversation about a year ago with somebody. I knew the moment I had that conversation, they were leaving. I had the conversation anyways. And on Judgment Day, God and I will have a conversation. But you know what? Here's the deal. I said what God told me to say. Not everything that goes on here is going to tickle your fancy. Why? Because I'm going to challenge the absolute heck out of you. Why? Because I care about you and I want you to have the very best life. I'm not always at my best. Especially believers. Go with me to the King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 25. And I'm talking to you this morning about your conscience. And I'm going to explain this to you. First Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 18. And here is God, and this is what he's saying. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. This is talking about the church. And this is God, and he's saying, every member in the church, every person in the body, I've placed them as I see fit. As I see fit. And what you have to determine is, did God put me here? I believe God put a lot of people here. Amen. That he placed you just as he sees fit. It's a family. It's a body. How many of you, your nose ever started running? Guess what we don't do? We don't just chop off our nose. What am I saying? At the end of the day, you need to have a clear conscience with how we deal with people, how we deal with each other, how we deal with people out in the world, how we deal with confrontation, how we deal with conflict. If you're going to need forgiveness from the Lord anytime soon, I would encourage you not to be a grudge holder. Because, see, the Word of God says, and if any of you stand praying and you have aught against your brother, go and make it right with them. Forgive so you can be forgiven. Sometimes there's a hold up in our life for the very simple reason as we are holding a grudge. And we will not let it go. And there is a place in our conscience that is not clean that we're trying to just sweep under the rug and go on, and God's saying, you're not going on, you're going to address it. Why? Because God also wants you to have the very best life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. What does the word glory here mean? high renown, honorable, a notable achievement. It's to your glory. It's a notable achievement when you can overlook an offense. There's too many people thinking, oh, I really told them off good. No, what you did was you told yourself and everybody else around you just what kind of person you are. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm always just very surprised at what God really wants to say. I don't get these messages off of YouTube. I'm not sitting here ordering them and they come in some curriculum. I sit down in my recliner and I start praying and God starts opening up His plan for the Sunday service. There's a lot of times where I'm going, God, why are we talking about this? Look here. He knows. That's all that matters. And especially in our relations with you, I have handled myself in the most holiness and sincerity that are from God. Holiness and sincerity. What does the word holiness mean? Dedicated. Consecrated to God. Sacred. What was he saying here? I know you guys are upset. I know you're offended at me. My conscience is clean when it comes to you. I've gone out of my way, especially in our relationship, to handle it in a sacred, holy way. And then he says, and in sincerity. What is sincerity? Free from deceit or hypocrisy. Sometimes there's things on our conscience because there's hypocrisy in our life. I'm going to say that one more time. Sometimes there's things weighing on our conscience because there is some hypocrisy in our life. And the Word of God wants us to conduct ourselves in the most holiest and sincere way. If there's things weighing on your conscience, maybe there's some things that you're doing and you know that they're not right and you can't stop doing them. Maybe you yourself can't stop, but the God inside of you can help you to stop. What is God trying to do in this service? He's trying to help people to get a clear conscience. He's trying to help people get a clean and clear conscience. I want you to take a moment and I want you to think about your life. Is there any hypocrisy in there? Are there places where you can say, this isn't right. This isn't right. God, I want to change. God, I want to change. Lord, there's some things that I'm doing. They ain't right. God, there's some situations and there's some things that I've done. They're not right. says, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. You don't get holy and sincere on your own. You don't get holy and sincere all on your own. Amen. There's people in here and you're thinking, yeah, there's some things that's gone on and I don't even want to be that way. I don't even want to do those things. And I don't even know how to not. That comes from the Lord. And it starts with your conscience. It starts with your conscience. The message is for whoever in here, it's hitting you like this. God's trying to help people in here by giving you that feeling like it's time to get that right. Last place for me this morning, Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Here it is again, a sincere heart. What does that mean? A heart not full of hypocrisy. See, don't keep telling yourself something's fine if it's not. Don't keep telling yourself you're right if you're not. Don't keep telling yourself it's okay if it's not. This is your life. You're not coming back any other time. This is it. And you've got to work these things out. Draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience. Guilt is the silent killer of the believer because guilt will make you feel bad about something that happened 25 years ago and it's still coming up because the devil's still able to bring it up to you. What does the Word of God say? Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. One of the best things that you can ever have in your life is a clean, clear conscience. The devil don't want you to have that because he wants to keep you bound up. And having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for He who has promised is faithful. Is faithful. I want to say right here in this moment, God is a faithful God, and God is not mad at anybody in this place. God is not sitting on His throne saying, how can I punish them for what they've done? He's not doing that. He's trying to say, how can I get you to get that off of your conscience? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And I have two questions. Is there anybody in the place this morning and you need to be saved? Is there anybody in the place this morning and you need to be saved? If you do, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody in the place? And you say, God, I've been away from you. Lord, I don't want to be away from you. God, I want to rededicate my life to you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you two ladies to come up. You're sitting there in your seat and you're saying, I should be up there. There's still time. There's still time. Those of you that have been with me since I was a pastor, you know I don't just sit up here and try to get everybody saved every service. But I feel that need to give that invitation. If you're sitting there in your seat and you're saying, man, I'm miserable. God, I don't even know what to do with myself. Here's what he's saying. Give me your life. Give me your life. I'm going to wait just one more moment. I don't want to play church anymore. I don't want to feel like I got to sugarcoat everything. If not, I don't. You're leaving. I want to have a clear conscience also. As your pastor, is there anybody else and you say, I need to be up here? Come on. What we're going to do exactly what we did last week.